Well, thank you for joining me. We're about to pray the chapel to Divine Mercy. And if you've never gotten through, I'll give you a number. You can try this. Maybe you're new to this prayer every day at this time. I stop whatever we're talking about. And we pray a prayer that was given to the first saint of the new millennium, Saint Faustina. And Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, appeared to her and revealed to her this beautiful prayer and gave to her many other special gifts and channels of grace. You can get in at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Put that in your speed dial. Great way to connect with us. Of course, you can always leave your intentions for me, for Maggie, for all who will be praying for you at Drew Mariani Show. And you can always email us, drew@relevantradio.com. And hey, today's a special day. I have a beautiful devotion, not just to the Divine Mercy, and I love very much St. Faustina, but I have such deep gratitude for her spiritual director, Father Michael Sopochko. And Father Sopochko was the spiritual director to St. Faustina, and he was a man who sat on the other side of this confessional window when a young nun came in and began to say that she was having visits from the Lord, communications from Jesus. Can you imagine if somebody told you that? What's your first reaction? I would think, ooh, that person's a little delusional. You know, that person needs some psychological counseling. They need some help. So he was the confessor for these nuns. And it was there in the confessional he met St. Faustina, who was, as we know, incredibly humble, right? She had this great weight on her. The Lord began revealing to her his message of divine mercy. And it was an urgent message. And he wanted her to share it with the whole world. But who's going to believe this little nun with a third grade education? Not her superiors in the convent, right? Nobody. None of her previous confessors believed it. And she had prayed to Jesus. She says, Lord, please send me a spiritual director, somebody who can guide me, somebody who will help me understand, you know, what's going on and, you know, who can understand that what I'm experiencing is real. So Father Sopochko was the answer to her prayers. And he eventually became the main promoter of her revelations, actually the very linchpin in the Lord's call to spread divine mercy throughout the world. Very early in St. Faustina's diary, I think it's entry 53, there's this beautiful quote where Faustina writes down what the Lord said. The Lord told her, he said, Father Sopochko is the visible help for you on earth. He will help you carry out my will on earth. And that's exactly what he did. Father Sopochko was a very well-trained theologian, and he was an expert in the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, these great doctors of the church. And Faustina said something to him. And by the way, he did have her go get psychological evaluation. He wanted to make sure she wasn't crazy. And she came back completely sane, right? So, you know, knowing this, he was perplexed by something that Faustina said. He had said to her, or she had said to him, that the Lord told her that God's greatest attribute is mercy. God's greatest attribute is his mercy. And he grappled with that, and he went back to the church fathers. He went to Aquinas and to Augustine, and he realized, wow, that is quite profound. And it validated for her that this little girl, this nun with a third grade education, clearly could not have come to know that. And Sopochko was the man who was responsible for having her write the diary, who helped her find the artist that would paint the image of divine mercy and ultimately help spread this devotion. But it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the diary. We wouldn't have these revelations. We wouldn't have the image. And the greatest irony of it all is that Father Sopochko would never, ever see divine mercy reach the heights of what it is today. In fact, the Divine Mercy devotion was banned in 1959. It was banned for about 20 years until 1979. And it was because of a faulty translation in the diary. It was John Paul II, who was cardinal at the time in Poland, who initiated the investigation and ultimately overturned the ban on Divine Mercy. Actually did it when he was Pope. But, you know, he Sopochko ultimately took comfort that, you know, one day this devotion would spread. And Father Seraphim Mikalenko, who is the vice postulator for the call, says this is the fastest grassroots devotion in the history of the church. I could talk so much more about what Sopochko did and how important he was in the role of St. Faustina, but today he's with us. You know, we join St. Faustina, we join Blessed Sopochko, this great communion of saints, those who've gone before us, and we seek their intercession. So I would ask you to turn to him, turn to St. Faustina today for that miracle that you're going to pray for right now, whatever it is. Both Sobochko and Faustina, their life was about divine mercy. It was all about divine mercy. And I know today they're powerful intercessors. I'm joined today by my colleague here at Relevant. It's good to pray with Celine. Celine, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Anything you want to pray for?
Yes, today I would like us to pray for anyone going through a period of doubt that they find this prayer in particular. It's very calming. It's very healing for that, honestly, terrifying state of mind. So anyone with us today who's going through that period in their faith journey.
Such a beautiful, beautiful intention. Thank you, Celine. I want to pray for your personal needs. And there's a lot of people who are filled with doubt, fear, anxiety. And as Celine has so beautifully pointed out, this prayer will bring you peace. You know, this is a prayer that God hears, and he certainly answers. And I know that if you're asking for that peace, if you're asking for that discernment, for that answer, you turn to the Lord through this prayer, and it will be given to you. Let's pray right now. If I have time, I'll share with you more about Blessed Sopochka. I'll share with you what he revealed to St. Faustina. Again, great mind on the power of prayer. He actually wrote a beautiful dissertation on the power of prayer. He understood it. But let's you and I engage in it now. All right, let's turn to God. We'll ask for his mercy. We'll lift up all the intentions. We'll share some of your intentions from Twitter on the air today. But we'll begin as we do. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today from Anna in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Anna, thank you for calling. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. And I cannot thank you and your whole Relevant Radio team for everything that you do. And Relevant Radio is in our prayers nightly, as well as Drew Mariani and his entire family.
God bless you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. And that is the God's honest truth. We were lucky enough, my husband and I, got to meet you in person and do the chaplet with you, I'm going to say about 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I still have pictures. And about 5 years ago, I was going to send you answered prayers. And that didn't happen, but now I'm going to have to do that because 5 years ago I called and my brother was having major heart issues and was in the hospital for numerous weeks and had 32 pounds of fluid removed from his body within the first 24 hours.
Wow.
He ended up having like six different surgeries, flatlined numerous times. They were already talking heart transplant. Mm-hmm. everything turned around. Everything
Praise
got good.
God.
He came home, did the
That's
rehab,
great.
The whole bit, went for his follow-up, and the doctor said, I hate to tell you, Tim, but he said, I've got to take you off the transplant list. And he said, why? And he said, you don't need to be on it. You
wow.
have recovered so well.
Praise God.
And he said, I don't get it. And my brother said, well, my sister called anybody and everybody that she could asking for prayers. And you guys were the first ones that I called.
I love
it. So, fast forward to last Tuesday morning, I was awoken at 6 o'clock in the morning by two police officers at my door informing me that my brother passed away in his sleep.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Just like that.
And I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
But you're a woman of faith, and we know that God has a day and a time for all of us. And, you know, what a beautiful witness to the power of prayer. What a beautiful testimony. And, you know, that gift of life that your brother was given, God called him home, and we know that he's going to be in the merciful embrace of our Savior. And it's going to be an honor to pray for his soul today.
Can I just tell you, in his obit, the first line I put?
Yeah.
God plucked another angel from the earth to take to heaven.
Oh, amen to that. Well, he's going to join us in prayer today then. Let's pray. Let's pray for the repose of his soul. And I want to pray for your family too, Anna. You know, I know it's hard.
That. That's exactly what I'm calling for. And what a perfect day to call.
Amen.
I didn't realize it was the feast of. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Blessed Sapochko. He'll be praying for us in a big time way. It's the anniversary of his death. So, look, Lord, I just give you Anna right now, and I give you her family. And, you know, I thank you for the beautiful testimony of healing and not needing the organ transplant. We hear a lot of those testimonies through this prayer. I give you right now the 6,316 souls that will die in this hour, the 105 souls that will die every minute. And I give to you in particular her brother who has passed away. I give you all those who have gone before us. And Lord, I give you the hour of my death, of Anna's, and all who now pray with me, that in that final hour, that final moment, you will meet us as a merciful Savior, not a just judge, that we can be perfectly reunited with you and those who have gone before us. So I ask for your mercy now as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to California next. Helen, good afternoon.
Hi. I'm asking for prayer for complete healing for my sister, Susan, who is in the hospital with COVID pneumonia, and she has to be on oxygen, that she can, you know, she will be able to get off oxygen. And also for complete healing for my husband and I and my daughter that have COVID also, and all those who have COVID.
All right, we're praying for you, Helen. I'm glad you got through. All right, let's pray for your family. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray for all those who are in critical care, those who are in need of special treatment. Give you this intention Helen brought forward, especially with the oxygen. I pray for anyone having any sort of health concern right now. But I do pray against COVID. I ask that you eradicate this pandemic. You allow the world to return to some sense of normalcy. I pray for peace in the world too, Lord, as we bring up this intention. But I give you all of Helen's intentions. And I give to you my brothers and my sisters who are united with me now in prayer. For all the aches and pains, all the crosses that they carry, health and financially and in their relationships, I just ask that your precious blood flow, wash over, bring healing and new beginnings as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I want to thank everyone who's written to me. I can't always respond. I get a ton of emails into the show inbox, but I'm praying for you. I want you to know that. Your intentions are not unseen, and they certainly are not unprayed for. Maggie also monitors our Twitter page at Drew Mariani Show, and I hope you'll follow us there and like us on Facebook and do all the things in social media. But you can also leave us your intentions there, and Maggie often brings them to the table for prayer. So, Maggie, who's asking for prayer today?
T.S. wrote to us and said, please pray for our 22-year-old son's complete healing from his surgery today for a deviated septum. He's had over 6 surgeries, including 3 brain surgeries and post-op care. They're just praying for healing and restoration for him. We've gotten a lot of other little tweets in. Max asking for prayers for the traditional Latin Mass. Annalisa's asking for good results for her parents at the doctor's today. Fabiana is asking for prayers for a new position at her work. And C. Kaminsky wrote to us and said, please pray that the earrings that I left at my dentist the other day are found.
I love it.
And Drew, this one will really make
That's
you happy.
Awesome.
I flagged this one earlier today. Alexander had written to us, I think it was yesterday that I read his prayer out. He writes again today. He says, Drew, thank you for the prayers. The doctors were able to stop the internal bleeding, and my mom was able to be extubated today. Neurofunction intact. She's doing better and just being monitored for a few more days. Praise God.
Glory be to God. Mm-hmm. All praise and glory to him. I mean, this is such a powerful prayer, and it's because we all gather together. I know Christ is present here, and Lord honors his promises, especially to the chaplain. I even love that simple prayer for finding those lost earrings. I mean, why not, right? For the lost wallet, the lost papers, the lost keys, the lost earrings, the lost shoe, whatever it might be. No prayer is too small for God. We should talk to God. We should give him all of our needs, large and small. Let me take a call quickly here in the third decade before we pray the next one. Elba's praying with us in San Diego. Hi, Elba.
Hi, Drew. This is my first time I'm calling. I never called before. I'm so nervous.
Oh, good to have you.
I'm praying for my daughter, Vanessa, to be converted. Mm-hmm. And she's an athlete. And for her not to be afraid when she's going to be jumping next week, that the Lord take the fear of her, take the anxiety, the fear, and that she will be converted to the Catholic Church. And I pray for my brother, José Luis Barbosa, to be protected against all evil.
All right. I love your prayers. Thank you for calling. It's a delight to have you here, and thanks for praying with us. Look, I want to share with you just a simple little prayer. If anyone has a loved one away from the faith, in the diary of St. Faustina, the Lord told her, he says, I want you to know more profoundly than anything else the love that burns in my heart for souls. You know, and if you got a loved one away from the faith, he says, call upon my mercy on behalf of those souls, because I desire their salvation. He says, when you say this prayer, here's the prayer that he gave us. When you say this following prayer with a contrite heart, when you say it with faith on behalf of a sinner, I will give them the grace of conversion. This is the prayer. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. And we begin that beautiful prayer here of the chaplet. We say that prayer all the time. Say that over and over again. Say the chaplet, say that prayer, and I guarantee you the grace of conversion for your loved ones, it'll be felt, it'll be seen. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Now we'll go to Idaho next. Lou's praying with us in that beautiful state. Hi, Lou. Good afternoon.
Drew, I really need your prayers. My family does. I'm going to be married 24 years, and my wife is really... She don't want to be married no more. I've never cheated on her. I surrender everything to God. I go to adoration and I just surrender everything and hand it to him and say, take it and cure it. We have a special needs son. I'm broken.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what to do. I'm just asking Jesus to take this and just fix everything.
Well, Lou, my heart aches for you. It does. I can't imagine ever walking in those shoes. I just can't imagine how torn up you are right now. Prayer is the best weapon we have. It's the key to God's heart. And, you know, Padre Pio had said, the most beautiful creed is the one that we pronounce in that hour of darkness. And I know you're going through a storm right now. The Lord's with you. We are with you. Let's stand on the promises of this chaplain, the promise that the Lord gave to anyone who would pray this. And I believe your marriage, I'm assuming, is sacramental. I believe the Lord wants that marriage together. So let's really pray that the Lord will honor his promise, that anything we ask of him in virtue of his passion, by this beautiful prayer here, it will be granted because it's according to his will. And I believe it's God's will that those marriages are healed and united. So I'm going to pray right now for you. So is your family here, your spiritual family. And just know that God's grace is stronger than any of the problems that now face you. You know, in fact, the Lord told St. Faustina, all grace flows from mercy. He says, never doubt that God's mercy is stronger than our misery. It's stronger than our misery. And you know, your misery doesn't hinder his mercy. You know, in fact, you have the greater right to it. So, Lord, I just pray right now for this man. I pray for another divine mercy miracle. And I unite with the prayers, the cries, the pleas of so many of my brothers and sisters spiritually here. We take this couple to the foot of your cross. And whatever impediment, whatever obstacle, whatever division, whatever demonic element is involved here, I ask for the removal of it and a complete healing of this couple. And I pray for all marriages right now that are having difficulty, all marriages that need strength, all those discerning this particular vocation. And we know that Satan hates marriage and he hates family. So I bring this intention to you, trusting in your great mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
The next call comes either from Tulare or Tulare, California, and Chris is praying with us there. Chris, good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
I appreciate you and all that you do. And my prayer intention is I have a friend that has a 3-month-old grandson that was just diagnosed with blindness. So I'd like to have some prayers said for him.
Aww. Well, we'll do that right now, Chris. We'll pray for you too. All right? And be at peace.
Thank you. Let's
pray. Let's pray believing. I mean, God healed blindness so many times, hasn't he? I mean, look at the scriptures. He's raised from the dead. Again, I always submit to God's holy will in this. I have a friend whose son lost his vision. And these are faithful people. And they've really prayed and they've called upon the saints. And I think God has a mission for that particular child of theirs Maybe one day he'll get his sight back. They're believing that. I'm going to believe now, too. Lord, I pray for miracles. There's no miracle. There's no incident or ailment or situation that's too great. No cancerous cell, no diagnosis, no blindness, no paralysis, no missing limb. There's been miracles of regeneration of limbs. So I don't limit God. Do not limit God. With God, all things are possible. So I give to you now, everyone who's on hold with me, Stephen and Sam and Dolores and Joe and Lou and Ernest and Julie and Tom and Kathy and Chris and Maggie and all these souls that are united wherever they are, Lord, all those who have written to us, who need a miracle and who need that extra prayer. So we come together as faithful children. We submit to your holy will, of course, but we pray with the faith and the confidence that will move mountains. We give you our hearts and all of these intentions as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
And I have given them the glory you gave me, says Jesus, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one. John 17, verses 22 and 23.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's Father Terrence from St. Mariana Parish in Indiana. That particular scripture resonates with me, you know, that they may be one. I just think of this man who just called, and my heart breaks for him. He wants to stay married. His wife wants out. They've got a special need child. Maggie, you were just telling me during the break that a lot of people are sending tweets to us right now regarding what's coming in and what's happening.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple of tweets now since the chaplet saying, wow, we heard Lou's story. We're moved by it. We're praying for him, hoping for healing and restoration in that family. And I think I probably speak for everyone listening right now saying that we all are rooting for you, Lou.
Yeah, Lou, you got a whole lot of people praying for you. So keep the faith. Keep praying. And I know God will hear those prayers. I'm convinced of it. So we'll pray. Thank you for communicating with us. You can email us, drew@relevantradio.com. Send especially your answered prayers. But you can also tweet us at Drew Mariani Show. That's the show account. Maggie, really, it's kind of a shadow account. She handles a lot of what's there, a lot of great content. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. And we're on Facebook, so check us out, okay? Let's talk about this. We're seeing, and I said this during the chaplet, division, right? It's the hallmark of the evil one. He loves to divide marriages. He loves to divide your friendships. He loves to divide your family. You know, there was a poll, it was a couple years ago, I think it was 2018, NBC News, Wall Street, they took this poll of Americans, and they wanted to get a feel for how divided we were as a nation. Now, remember where we were in 2018. I mean, Donald Trump had been president now for 2 years. They found that about 80% agreed that we're a deeply divided nation. Now, that was 2 years also before the pandemic started, right? No one ever knew that there would be a pandemic looming in months to come. Hillary Clinton, Trump beat Hillary Clinton in the Electoral College, but he lost the popular vote. Hillary got more votes than Donald Trump. And the country was divided politically over that. So when you take that fundamental political division, you mix it in or you add it on top of the division with now the pandemic, you get even more division. There's people who are pro-vaccine and other people who aren't. There are people who want mass mandates or other people who don't. I mean, we see this complete divide in our country. People who want to defund the police and other people who don't, right? I mean, just take a look at any issue. People want the border open, other people don't. People want guns, other people don't. I mean, we are a divided nation. The Associated Press observed a couple years ago that it's no longer Republican versus Democrat or liberal versus conservative. It's the 1% versus the 99%. You know, it's rural versus urban. It's white versus black, climate doubters versus believers, you know, sex and race versus faith and ethnicity. I mean, you go on and on and on. I can give you a million of these issues. You know, our melting pot, this great country of ours, seems to be boiling over. And again, this was before the pandemic. So now, as you add these other issues into it, like I said, vaccines and masks, and it's gotten so bad. And this is what always struck me. I mean, during the elections, families were divided. During the pandemic, families were really divided. It's gotten so bad, families are divided. Kids won't visit their parents because they're not vaccinated. People get angry because they see somebody laughing in a store or not wearing a mask. Or, I mean, we are at a time, and I understand the concerns of people. I don't want to diminish that at all. This is real. We are in a divided time. Noelle Mehring, who's been a guest on the program before, she wrote a book called Awake, Not Woke. An excellent read. I would recommend it. She was giving a talk at a parish, and at the meal was sitting with a couple, just talking affably, you know, until the husband left and got something. And then the wife's countenance kind of shifted and she kind of seethed, "Why aren't you wearing a mask and mask?" And Noelle was taken off guard. Conversation after that didn't go so well. And Noelle pointed out that they weren't wearing masks 2 feet away from each other. But that's the kind of division that we're seeing in our country. So you've got a choice to make. Either do nothing and let it grow, or take action and counter it. And I've invited somebody who's been observing this, who's been writing about this, who is an expert really in helping maybe guide you through what are very tumultuous waters. Her name's Allison Ricciardi. She's a licensed mental health counselor in New York, founder of a great group. She's the president of CatholicTherapist.com. CatholicTherapist.com. You can check her out there. Also, RaphaelRemedy.com is the other website. But she believes you can make a difference. You can make the right decisions to counter this division and ultimately bring healing. Good to have you with me today, Allison. Thanks for your time.
Good to be here, Drew. How you doing?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I've seen this on a lot of different levels. And, of course, doing talk radio, you see the division in the country without a doubt. But let's take it to the one area that Satan really hates, and that's the family. I've seen a lot of families divided because of the pandemic. I've even seen lifelong friends not talk to each other over elections. But the family, I don't know whether the pandemic really seems to be hitting the family hard. Feelings that some people have, I know, can be hard to control, especially when you're with family members. You might feel a little more open to saying what you want to say. And what do people need to do to overcome these feelings? And also maybe the big picture. Maybe we can start with, where are we today? And where's this heading? And why is this? Why is the temperature of the water really beginning to intensify? Why is it getting hotter?
Well, I think, you know, we've really been subjected to a two-year terror campaign. I mean, when we talk about terrorism, this is terrorism with all the fear that's been, you know, foisted on us. And, like, this latest division over masks and vaccines is really, I mean, shocking. It's kind of brilliant when you think about it. I mean, the powers that be have been trying to divide us based on racial, you know, lines or gender lines or religion or politics. All, you know, I mean, that's all by design. We have to recognize that. I think everybody needs to recognize when you're sitting in front of the TV, there's a reason they call it programming. Hmm. All right? They are programming us. If you take two little children, a white child and a black child, they don't notice. They don't think there's anything different. They play with one another.
Right.
It's not in our human nature to be so hateful and to be so divided. But there are powers that want us divided. And we obviously, the ultimate power that wants us divided is Satan. And like you mentioned a little earlier, that he hates all that's good, beautiful, and true. He hates marriage. He hates family. He hates children. He hates ministries. He hates good works. So he is going to be there to divide. And division is that the calling card of the devil. Right? When we see, you know, I had an experience many years ago when I was doing pro-life work, and it was with a couple that I was very close friends with. We had been in a business together, and they really, I mean, I never really left the Catholic faith, but I never understood it. But because the husband, he really knew his faith. I mean, it really brought me back into the faith full-time, really understanding it. And then we started doing pro-life work together. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it just, this division. I mean, it literally happened on Good Friday where she asked me to come over and literally had a legal pad and wrote down everything they didn't like about me. And it was horrific.
Gosh. Wow.
It was, yeah, it was terrible. But, you know, it was actually, I mean, in the long run of my life, it was a great experience because I learned a lot from it. But it was very difficult to go through. And I realized over time, I mean, there was a rift for years.
Who does
and
that, though?
There was
honestly,
nothing.
Who takes a notepad and writes down, you know, what they don't like about you? I mean, that would tear me up. I mean, yeah, we all have. That's unbelievable. It's
you know
cool.
what? Right. But the devil provokes these divisions. He knows how to exploit our weaknesses, our wounds, and our fears, especially. And I think in that particular situation, there were some issues going on I'm not going to go into. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was, you know, she was struggling with her own stuff at that point. And it went on for years. But I realized at one point, like, that was where I learned where it says, pray for those who hurt you.
Right.
I had to do that. I remember where I was sitting in church and went, okay, pray for those who hurt you. And I would say a Hail Mary, and it was like spitting out a bullet. I was angry. But I didn't know what else to do. So out of blind obedience, this is what Jesus said to do. This is what I'm going to do. And over time, it really changed my heart. I was able to forgive. We didn't reconcile at that point. But I was over it. And we ran into each other at a diner once. And I wrote her a note. And I said, you know something, we got along great until we started doing pro-life work. I said, but I want you to know something. The devil didn't win because I still appreciate everything you did for me. And he's not going to win. And another couple of years went by until she finally, she went to confession and she just, you know, it all came out and she asked me to get together. And she said at that point, she goes, it was all me. I'm so sorry. I mean, she told me she sat in front of my house thinking of burning it down.
Ooh.
You know, so, yeah, but you know what? I forgive her. I mean, this is just, this is craziness that happened. But we were making progress with pro-life work. So you're going to see that in ministries. You're going to see that in families. You're going to see that in marriages. The devil hates it. So when we recognize it, and that's what we need to do, if we can kind of head it off at the pass by seeing it develop, to listen, to try to understand. Everybody is dealing with some burden or some demon.
Well,
and,
let's talk about it, Allison. Let me ask you to hold just a second. When we come back, let's talk about how to discern you know, what's under the surface there, whether it is demonic or it's just a personality flaw or not. I've seen Satan retaliate for works I've done, for the Marian apparitions of the 20th century film, for spreading divine mercy devotion. I've seen priests blessing abortion clinics and people slam on their brakes, spewing the most vile things you'd ever want to hear, as though the demon couldn't stand the power of that blessing. So there is a dark force underneath a lot of this. We'll look at that and more.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. If you're just tuning in, we're taking a look at the division that seems to be swirling in a lot of families, amongst a lot of friends, and certainly within the culture and the world at large. You see Russia mounting forces on the border of Ukraine. I came across an article by Allison Ricciardi. She is the founder of CatholicTherapist.com and the president there. It was titled Love, Division, and Decision. Great title. Love, Division, and Decision. And she joins me today to take a look at it. As we look at this, and you highlight the demonic underpinning to some of this type of stuff, the question is, how do we identify what is going on that's fomenting this division? The pro-life movement, the works of God, often, you know, the storm that rages against the good works is great. But you also have people with you know, personality flaws, you know, who are not psychologically always balanced, who, you know, camp out on things that really don't necessarily matter. How do we fend this off before it gets too bad? And how do you really discern what the source of the problem is? Allison, you with me?
Yeah. I'm sorry. No. I didn't realize. Anyway, I think, you know, we have a choice. When somebody does something hurtful to us, we're going to feel offended, but it's a decision whether we take offense, right? There's a reason for the way that we express that, taking offense. That's an action. That's a decision on our part. And I think we have to realize, particularly when we're in any kind of ministry, in families, you know, people, we all have our weaknesses, and the devil is exploiting that. And it's he who wants the division. And there's usually some misunderstanding, some wound, some personality flaw that's being exploited there. So if we look at what's going on today, you know, and again, the divisions over masks and vaccines is just stunning. But what's happened is the powers that be have really ginned this up where it's a life or death situation. They've used the same kind of logic that they use to convince a girl to have an abortion, right? That, you know, it's selfish for you to not want to, you know, to have this baby. You know, you're going to affect other people. You're going to hurt other people if you do. You know, like, what about your parents? They're going to be embarrassed and your boyfriend can't finish school. Right. You know, it's interesting how it's always appealing to the good in us and then it gets twisted. So, you know, there's a debate here. Do masks work? Do masks not work? Or should we do it to be nice even if we don't think they work? Response to it, we're seeing some real tyrannical measures by government, which I think is waking a lot of people up, that this isn't about how your neighbor feels about wearing a mask. This is about something bigger going on. And the same thing with the vaccines. They've convinced you that, gee, you got to get them because they work, but they won't work unless somebody else gets them because they really don't work. So, you know, everybody's, there's a lot of confusion. So if we go back to the Garden of Eden, what did the devil do to Eve? He asked a confusing question. Did God say you can't eat of any of the trees of the Garden of Eden? No, we can, you know, he knew God didn't say that, but he confuses the issue, you know, and then he knows how to kind of manipulate there. I think what we have to do, particularly because this is not going away right away in terms of the mask debate, the vaccine debate, understand people all have their own perspective on it. You can vehemently disagree, but you can still love your family. You can still be respectful. You may need to agree to disagree. You may have to bow out of certain occasions because there's a major disagreement. But I remember a friend of mine around Christmas time, her sister was like, you can't come unless you're vaccinated and you get a test. And she was ready to blow up dynamite. I'm like, wait, no, let's look at this. Uh-huh. The reason you want to be together is because you want to be close with your family. And now you're going to blow up this dynamite and destroy this. It doesn't make sense. You needed to just back off. You know, and again, he's provoked so much fear. And we don't make good decisions when we're terrified. Right? So again, the girl facing an unplanned pregnancy, she's so vulnerable because she's so scared that it's easy to manipulate her into making a bad decision. So, you know, we got to get this fear under control. And this is, I think, where faith comes in. God is ultimately in control. And we need to spend more time in prayer, more time looking at that than all the, you know, all the news that's out there that is designed to manipulate us.
Yeah, that's so true.
And look at facts, not all this, you know, everybody's throwing this stuff out there at science. Well, wait a minute, let's look at the actual science. You know, I think if everybody did that, we can have a better debate. But, you know, they're not, even the press conference where one of the reporters was asking somebody in the White House for the proof about what's going on in Ukraine. Oh, well, it's definitely proven. Well, because we got it. And he would not provide any data. So this is what we're always being subjected to now, that, well, because we say it. No, we need to see actual proof, you know. But when it comes to that debate with your family and friends, I mean, we shouldn't get into that. Just say, all right, listen, we agree to disagree. I love you. You're more important to me than this. You know, if maybe you have to say, okay, I'm going to wear a mask today because, you know, it's so important. Okay, you know, but you can still be strong in what you believe, you know, but we need to, you know, we need to kind of bridge those gaps.
So, Allison, I'm just curious because we see this at a foundational level. We see it at the family level. But I'm also very concerned about what we're seeing as a nation. I mean, the divide, it seems like people have thrown out any boundary they used to have. And as a therapist, you know, I don't know why they feel liberated to do that. I mean, not just in our country, but even globally. I mean, what's happening in the family, how is that affecting what we're now seeing in wider society?
Well, yeah, the family is a microcosm of what we see in society. But I think what we're seeing now, if you look at the worldwide protests, we look at what's going on in Canada, we look at, you know, the truckers and everything, people are coming more together than people realize. The media wants you to believe that we're all divided. But more and more people are coming together. I mean, I'm laughing, you know, with Biden, you know, I'm going to unite the country. He has against him. Mm-hmm. You know, it is actually, you know, boomeranging on the devil who wants this division. You know, I think that if you talk to people, you know, people all have the same, you know, we all want to have a peaceful life. We want to feel loved. We want to provide for our families. Everybody's got really the same goal. But, you know, we can't allow the media to just make us start, you know, kind of, you know, parroting these lines. It's a lot of propaganda out there. But I don't think people are as divided as you think. I think they want us to think that. But by and large, I don't think so. I think people really are coming together. This is really boomeranging in their face.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So your article, I'll open the phones. I have a moment. If you want to join the conversation, I'll try to sneak your call in. The number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Before time does get away from us, your article, Love, Division, and Decision, what's the best way for people to read it and get connected to you?
That is actually on my other new site, CatholicLifeCoaches.com. And if you want to sign up on my mailing list, download my free ebook there. Live a Life of Purpose and Joy, How a Catholic Life Coach Can Move You from Ordinary to Extraordinary. You know, and coaching is really, you know, we start at a good place. How do we make things better? How do we develop our talents, our gifts? Because I think this is really important today. As we try to rebuild this body of Christ, we need to be working out of our strengths, and we need to kind of really be able to set goals and be able to, you know, find ways to kind of manage those goals and actually attain them. And whether that's a business goal, whether that's a ministry goal, whether that's a marriage and relationship goal, I think we need to be more precise about it, because we can't let our emotions just keep, you know, ruling us and being distracted by all the stuff that's going on. You know, God has a plan, and he needs to really build up his army. You know, I think that a lot of people, as we see the world coming unglued, are starting to look to their faith. And, like, how do we really apply this in our life? You know, so that article is on Catholic Life Coaches. If you're looking for help, I mean, if this has really gotten toxic for you, mm-hmm. a lot of people are struggling with anxiety. They're struggling with depression. Many people are even feeling suicidal because it looks so hopeless. I promise you it's not hopeless. Right. Mary promised her heart will triumph. Right. Take that to the bank. But
Amen.
Reach out to a Catholic therapist, Amen. All right, because we have a lot of people listed in every state where you can find somebody that can help you with that Christian Catholic perspective. Like, how does this really work for us?
Let me do this, Allison, because we have about a minute and a half left. I want to get Sally in Chicago, and she's been waiting to talk to you. Hi, Sally.
Yeah, hi. This is really more of a kind of a real life experience that's more of a joke. But, you know, I've been asked so often whether I've been vaccinated. And I realized that that's my information and that doesn't need to be shared. But I was at a school substituting another substitute that I am very familiar with, but is very radical. Walked in, I haven't seen her in a long time, and I said, hey, how you doing? And she said, are you vaccinated? And I immediately shot out, have you had your BMI checked, and are you diabetic? Wow. And she just turned around and said, oh, you're impossible. And I said, have a nice day. And it wasn't really meant to be like, quipping, but it was kind of like, wait a second, I'm not asking you personal information. I was being kind of welcoming. What's your problem?
All right, Sally, I'm gonna leave it there because I am up against the clock, and I want to thank also Allison for her time today. You can check her out at CatholicTherapist.com or RaphaelRemedy.com. Her article is called Love, Division, and Decision. It's well worth a read. I'm going to take a short pause. News and headlines are straight ahead. Then I'll be right back.